go over to Psalm 119. My mic on out there, guys. Psalm 119 and verse 107. Psalm 119 and verse 107. And once again, good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's wonderful, tremendous. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 107. The Bible says, the psalmist says, I like this part that we're going to get to at the end of the verse. Amen. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord. Here it is. According unto thy word. The psalmist says again, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. I want to talk this morning, this little thought, when my head is down. When my head is down. Father, I pray this morning for your help. I ask God to clean my mind and clean my heart. I pray God to fill me up with the Holy Spirit. I pray God for liberty as I preach the word of God. I pray God for fresh anointing and fresh touch. And I pray God to help me to say what you want me to say, or nothing more and nothing less. I pray God that somehow, someway, someone will be tremendously helped by the word of God this morning. I pray God to breathe upon us. I pray God to breathe inside of us. I pray God to draw us to thyself. And then, oh yeah, there's one among us who is not sure of their salvation, or they know they're not saved. I pray God this be that day they receive Jesus as Lord, Savior, and King. Put their faith and their trust in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary for each of us. He died for the world, but he also rose up again. And for that, God, we want to say thank you. God, help us. And then, God, for that one who might be hurting, I pray, God, that you come by and put some salve on that hurt. But also, I pray, God, that you heal that hurt. And for that, God, we'll praise you. And then, God, if there's anything else I'm leaving out, please hurt. Meet that need, too. Of course, in your son's name, we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but a mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. May we see it. When my head is down. As you read the verse, the first words of this verse, the psalmist says, I am afflicted. That word afflicted here means to be depressed or too depressed or looking down. The psalmist who penned these words says, I am afflicted. He is admitting that I am depressed. He is admitting I am not looking up, but I'm looking down. And when you and I get depressed, or when you and I begin to feel low, or when we're afflicted by life, we do begin to look down instead of looking up. Oftentimes, you can tell when a person is hurting, because as you see them walking, you'll see them with their head down. Not only is their head down, but just an expression on their face lets you know that something is wrong with that individual. But when a person's head is up, oh my, you see them smiling, and there's a certain gleam in their eye. There's a certain excitement on their face. But I got some good news for us, my dear friends. There are times each of us will have our heads down or will look down, but hallelujah, it don't have to stay that way. Amen. We've got a God that knows how to quicken us. We have a God that knows how to cause our head that's down to begin to look up. And I want to show you a few things very briefly that I pray that will help us. The first thing we see is his condition. The man's condition. What is it, preacher? We just mentioned it. He is afflicted. He is depressed. He's looking down, but not just a little bit. The Bible says, the psalmist says, I'm afflicted very much. The words very much means exceedingly. In other words, it's not just a little bit. It's not minute, but instead it's exceeding. It's very much. It's a lot. In other words, I'm not just looking down for a few seconds or for a few minutes, but I find myself looking down a day after day after day, and perhaps week after week after week, or perhaps month after month, I find myself looking down. I'm not encouraged. I'm discouraged. And perhaps that's why he's looking down, because he is discouraged, or perhaps he is disappointed. Things did not turn out the way he anticipated. Things didn't turn out like he thought. Perhaps his family didn't turn out like he was looking for it to turn out. Or perhaps his marriage, or perhaps his children. There's something perhaps that's caused him to be disappointed. And when you and I begin to look down, A lot of times it's some of those areas that cause us to look that way or to look down. I had a vision of my life. I had a vision when I graduated from high school, how things are going to be. But you know what? It didn't turn out that way. It's not unfolded that way. Some of us who've gone down the aisle for marriage, as we walk down the aisle with perhaps a tear of joy in our eyes, we expect our marriage to be that one of like Cinderella. You know, I mean, you get the glass slipper and it's like happily ever after. When we find out it didn't turn out that way. All of a sudden, that same person, that same individual that you could not keep yourself from being on the phone with, that same individual that you had on your mind almost 24 hours a day, all of a sudden they're on your mind, but ain't the right type of thoughts. No, it ain't the right type now. And all of a sudden you're looking down and all of a sudden, my friends, you're not excited about life. There's no zest for life. Instead, all you see is gloom and doom. It's not going to get any better from what you can see. As a matter of fact, it's another verse where the psalmist said it was the same book, Psalm 119. But if you look over there in verse 25 of Psalm 119, the psalmist says this. He says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." That word cleaveth means to stick. It means to cling, to adhere. In other words, my soul is cleaving, is clinging to the dust. The dust means the ground. That's somebody, and by the way, he said, and by the way, the word cleave, remember, says mean to be, to cling, to be stick. In other words, his soul is stuck to the ground. And when something's stuck, my friends, it needs to be pried from that place of where it's been caused to be stuck at, that place that has it clinging to itself. It needs to be, you need to be pried from that, loose from that. He says, my heart is clinging to the dust. It's clinging to it. I can't look up because I'm stuck right here. It's almost like that super glue. I'm stuck and it seems like there's no way I can get out. Like that quicksand. The more you try to move, it's like the further you start going down. And the further you start going down. This is his condition. And a lot of times we find ourselves in that same condition. But hallelujah, he did something. Look back over there to Psalm 107, or Psalm 119, 107. The psalmist's condition, but then we see his cry. The psalmist says, I am afflicted. Yeah. Not a little bit, but very much. But then he cries out and says, quicken me. The word quicken means to restore. It means to repair. It means to revive. It means, my dear friends, to recover. The psalmist says, I need to recover. I'm low. My head is down. I'm looking down. I'm beat down. I'm stuck to the ground. But hallelujah, he cries out and says, Lord, recover me. Restore me. Revive me. Repair me. This past week, I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday, we went to the doctor's office. I can't remember exactly what day it was, Wednesday or Thursday. I think it was Thursday. We went to the doctor's office. It was Jolene. You see, she has a little, what do you call that thing? Wrist thing. Oh, brace, that sounds better, more correct. Brace on her left wrist. You know, she's left-handed, and so she's been having some problems with it. You know, personally, I think it's because she's been hitting somebody too much. There's a male in the house, the oldest male in the house, and oftentimes wears a suit and a tie. But anyhow, but she went and had an x-ray on that, and now we're waiting for the results of the x-ray. Now, depending on what the x-ray shows, will determine the next steps that we're going to, about to have a Holy Ghost spell. It depends on the next steps that we're going to take. Well, same thing with us, my friends. When you go to God, when you go to the great physician, sometimes, my dear friends, he'll do a spiritual x-ray on that place that you are hurting at, and then he'll determine how to repair it, how to recover that which has been broken or torn apart. He comes back and says, I know how to revive that. Hey, I'm going to show you what we need to do here in this area. Now, I don't know about you, but it's good to go to a doctor that knows everything. He knows every problem, every situation. He knows exactly not only how to diagnose it, but also, my friends, he knows also how to what? Fix it. Hallelujah. He knows how to repair it. There's nothing, my friends, that's broken that God cannot repair. The Bible says that with God, everything is possible. There's nothing impossible with a holy God. Whether it's your home, whether it's your family, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your heart. Woo! God knows how to repair. God knows how to restore it. That's why he cries out to God. He says, quicken me. And by the way, go back over there to Psalm 119 and verse 25. He says basically the same thing. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. That leads us next from the cry to the contract. When you have repairs done in your house, you have a contract. When you get into any type of a legal situation with someone, you normally have a contract drawn up. And our contract is God's word. But the Bible says in Psalm 119, 107, Psalm 119, verse 107, the Bible says here, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto what? Thy word. That word contract also means an agreement between two or more people. It's the written form of such an agreement. You know where I'm going? The written form of such an agreement. We have the written word of God. This is God's covenant. This is God's testament. This is God's contract. This is God's will for you and I. So what I need to do, I need to find out, what does the contract say? When something go wrong with something that you done bought from a store, and if you have an agreement or a contract, you got to check that baby out. And find out, what does it say? I remember we first got our van outside. And I remember we had driven it for just a couple of years. And transmission. The transmission decided it was going to sleep. It died. But it was under 100,000 miles. Yeah, hallelujah. We had a contract. We had a warranty. We had an agreement. We called them up. Got the van over there. And they replaced it. No charge. But how many times, guys, and I'm not trying to exclude the women, but guys in particular, how many times have we gone to AutoZone, Murray's, or whoever the parts store is, and they'll say, you have a lifetime warranty. Or you have a 5-year warranty. And then we have that part break down in about a year and a half. And we'll go buy a new one. Why? Because we forgot. That's why. We forgot, my dear friends, that this was a lifetime. On the those who do brakes. Aren't there some brakes that some of y'all do? Huh? And they're lifetime? Don't raise your hand here now. But be honest in your heart. How many times since you got them lifetime pads, you done went and bought some more? Forgot? You know, couldn't find a slip, something of that nature. And now we're spending more money than we need to spend. Where you going, preacher? You know where I'm going. My dear friends, we've got a lot of things in that contract. We've got a lot of things in this agreement that are available for you and I. But my friends, we haven't read it and we don't know what it says. Now before we walk around, what are we going to do? You know, these kids crazy. They after me. Right now, my son-in-law, Ron, their baby ain't but just 7 days today, right? 7 days old today. And we all just, whoo. We make funny faces. Oh, whoo. His pine, 7 days old. But one day, your ride going to be 16. That boy crazy. He just lost his mind. What's wrong with him? Nothing. He's 16. That's it. And by the way, those who don't have teenagers yet, just hold on. Okay? They're not crazy. They're just teenagers. And teenagers do crazy things. By the way, we all were teenagers. And we thought we knew more than everybody else. Y'all just crazy. You're old. You're back in the 40s and the 50s. You don't know what's going on. I mean, it just repeats itself. When our children were teenagers, I literally thought, especially with DJ, he's the oldest. I thought he was out to get me. But DJ wasn't thinking about me. He was a teenager. He was thinking about DJ. But, and the Lord had to tell me that. He's not after you. I know he after me. He's trying to call me to have a heart attack. I mean, he's after me. Amen. No! He's just a teenager. Listen, when you and I start reading that word, and we start finding out what it says about certain things, then we'll know how to respond. The psalmist says right here, look what he says. He says in this verse, my dear friends, he says, according to what? Thy word. Well, what does the word say? Well, let's see what it says. Look over here in Psalm 34 and verse 17. Psalm 34, look at verse number 17. What does it say? Psalm 34 and verse number 17. The Bible says, the righteous cry. That's a cry for help. And the Lord heareth. Oh, and delivereth them out of some. Oh, I'm sorry. Out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto those that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of a righteous. But here's a contract. Here's the word. But the Lord delivereth him out of them what? All. And last time I checked, all means what? All. Somebody said, preacher, he ain't done nothing. The Bible says the righteous what? Cry. When's the last time you cried out to him? By the way, continuously cry out to him. Little Uriah, when he cries out, then automatically knows something wrong. He needs to be changed, or he's ready to eat, you know, or he wants to burp or something like that going inside. When he cries out, he said something's wrong. Now, one day, it's going to shock us, he's going to laugh for the first time. Y'all remember that when your baby laughed for the first time? You're like, he laughed. You know, first time Isaiah laughs, I don't forget Christian, she was spinning around, talking about she felt good. And she was little, about 10, what's she, about 8 or 10 or something like that. And she's spinning around, talking about, I feel good. And then Isaiah just bust out laughing. We all stopped. And then she spun around again. He laughed again. It was the first time he laughed. I go, wow. Let me ask you the question. When's the last time you cried out to him? A continuous cry. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. You keep on praying. Keep on crying out to him. Because God has given us his word that he will hear us and deliver us. The Bible says, out of them all. Hallelujah. So we see the contract. And then lastly, we see the psalmist's confidence. Look back in Psalm 119. And look at verse 112. The psalmist says this. This is going to help us. The psalmist says in verse 112, I have inclined mine, not ear, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. This is a confidence that the psalmist has in God's word when he finds himself with his head down. He says this, I have inclined my heart. The word inclined means to stretch out. But he's not stretched out his ear. He says, I've stretched out my heart. And he says this, I have stretched out my heart to do what? Perform. Uh-oh. That sounds like work. The word perform means to do and also means to accomplish. To do or accomplish what? Look what he says. I've inclined mine ear to my heart to perform or to do or accomplish thy statutes, thy commandments, thy law, thy word. With all my heart, I'm going to do what the word of God says do. I'm going to stretch out my heart to perform it. I'm going to stretch out my heart to do it. Why is this, preacher? He says this, even unto the end. I'm like, wow. He says, you know what I'm going to do? With all my heart, that's my emotions, that's my will, that's my inner man. With all that I've got on the inside of me, I'm going to stretch out to perform, to do all the commandments, the word of God that you told me to do. Unto the end. Now, my first thoughts were, to the end was like me watching a movie or you read a book. You come to the end of the story. And then the story's over. And I'm thinking, well, I guess the end, when we die, you know, no, that's good. I like word studies. The word end here means reward or results. Wow. He says, I'm going to stretch out my heart, my inner man, to do all that you told me to do until the end or until the results or until the reward. To me, a reward is special. It's almost like getting what you've been wanting to get. You know? Well, we played fantasy basketball last year, and we still got to get those trophies out, you know, for first and second place, or first, second, and third place. You know, and first place was, well, I'm sorry, it was me. But nonetheless, I want to get my trophy. I'm going to put it with my other trophy that I got for second place from football last year. That's my reward. That's why I try to look at who's playing and who's not playing and who to put in and who not to put in. Because I want to get a special reward at the end of the season. I want the trophy. Now, maybe y'all don't like trophy. I want the trophy. I want to have the trophy up for me to say, you know what? You accomplished something, man. You beat those masters. They thought you was just a rookie. You know, my first time playing. Hallelujah. But I'm okay. I'm fine. Yeah. Anyway. Forgive me for the pride. Amen. All right. But anyhow, you got it straight. Amen. But it's the same thing here. He said, I'm going to keep doing what God says to do until I get the reward or the results. I'm going to keep at it. I'm going all the way to the end. But you know how we do sometimes? Man, we'll be running. And then we start slowing down. I'm tired of this. You know, I'm going to say, I'm tired of running. No. Keep running. You're almost there. Just keep going. Just keep on running. It's like that guy, remember, he had to go around that thing, what was it, seven times? Well, the cloud was out there. Or he had to go around what was that other thing they had to go around? Over in Joshua. That wall. They had to go around seven times. Now, what if they went around once or twice? And they said, man, this don't make no sense. Joshua lost his mind. What's wrong with him? He's crazy. He's just like Moses. He didn't walk out here to die. But no, they kept on marching. They kept on marching. I don't know how many times I've gone around with his life. But they kept on marching. Then finally they blew that trumpet. That wall came down. And they went and received their reward. In other words, what are you saying? Don't quit. But preacher, I'm not seeing any immediate results. Don't quit. When you take your medication, okay, most of the time it takes a while. But you don't know what's happening. But you just swallow that pill. It gets inside your body. It dissolves. It begins to go to all the different places it needs to go to. Then before you know it, you don't even realize it. All of a sudden you say, man, my headache's gone. Actually, it's not gone. It's just been masked, amen. But all of a sudden, I feel better. What's happened? The medication has done the work. My friends, keep praying. keep doing whatever God has told you to do about that particular situation, because you're going to get the reward if you keep going until the end. Don't quit. Look what it says again. We're done. The Bible says, verse number 107 again, Psalm 119. The psalmist says, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. First question is this. Are you afflicted? In other words, have you been looking down lately? I mean, your head just been down. You've been low in your spirit, low in your heart. If that's the case, do like the psalmist. He says, I am afflicted very much, so quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. The second question is this. What does the word say about your particular situation? Somebody says, I don't know what it says. Okay. Have you read the contract? Have you done any research? Have you looked about what does it say about marriage? What does it say about family? Or what does it say about home? What does it say about jobs? What does it say about relationships? What does it say about friendships? What does it say about love? What does it say about anger? What does it say about forgiveness? What does it say about all these?
Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your mercy, and Lord, for your amazing grace. And Father, I just pray, God, this morning that somehow, some way, you will help somebody that might be struggling deeply. Perhaps, God, they find themselves low. Or perhaps, God, they find themselves depressed. Perhaps they find themselves, Father, in such a state of mind that they feel like just simply quitting. But I pray, God, that instead of quitting, they'll simply say, you know what? I'm going on until the end. And I pray, God, that you give them the strength to continue to go forward. I pray, God, for that person that might have other struggles that I've not even mentioned. But I pray, God, they come before your holy throne, cry to you, and say, Lord, I need your help. And then, Father, I pray you'd help them as only you can. And for that, God, we'll thank you too. God, help somebody. Why? Because somebody needs your help. That's it for now, Father. We're leaving out. Take care of that too. This is the time, Father. We've heard the songs. We've heard the sermon. Now it's time to respond. Of course, in your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's